Let us talk together now. Very simply, as men.
Hey there, incredible listeners. I want to take a moment to express my deepest gratitude to each and every one of you. Your support means the world to us and keeps this podcast going strong. Here's the thing. Producing The Men Who Love God comes with its costs. From equipment to editing, every dollar counts. But together, we can make a difference. Your contributions empower us to continue providing invaluable resources for men, women, and families everywhere. So if you believe in our mission and want to be a part of something meaningful, head over to donate.themenwholovegod.com to learn how you can support us right now. Together, we can create a brighter and more beautiful world for all. Thank you so much. And remember, your generosity fuels our passion. So let's keep making a difference together. That's donate.themenwholovegod.com. Okay, this is a new era.
Feels new.
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
again.
You've been on the podcast. This is Mason.
Hi, everybody. This is Mason. You may remember me from that episode where I came on here and talked a whole lot about kindness and all that stuff and my mother.
That's right. It was a great episode. Right after we did that, I asked you, do you want to come help me with this podcast? And you said yes.
It was, we had just cut all the recordings and he was like, you background film and production? I'm like, yeah. Do you want to come work for us?
I didn't even think about it.
Like, I didn't even go home and, honey, I got this job with there's a job offer for this podcast that I don't really, I was yeah, like, I don't know if absolutely.
It's not really a job offer. It's like a time suck. Honey, I've got this time suck that I want to do.
There's a whole bunch of people who want to take a whole lot of my time. Yeah. And I think I want to do it. But yeah, it was right after that. And it's been since September last year, 2023.
And why I want Mason on the podcast is because after I interview the guest, Mason's the producer. He's the one who gets the cameras and makes sure everything, he does the show notes. He makes sure everything goes well. And then we'd have these amazing conversations with Mason afterwards. I'm like, why aren't we recording this? This is such good stuff. And then to my right is one of my favorite dudes is Ron Squire.
Yes. Hello.
You've also been on the podcast.
I have. Yeah. I came, was it last October? Is that what you said, Mason?
Yeah, I think so.
Cause we're talking about fall music.
That's right. We're talking about fall music. Gregory Allen Isaacoff. It's on the fall
playlist.
We both
geeked out and Eric was like, what are you talking
about?
And
now I love him.
Yeah.
Cozy sweaters, good books. But yeah, I was on in October. Loved the experience of coming on, talking about meaning and therapy and I don't know, just how so many of us are searching for meaning in our lives, but there's only one source that comes from, like true meaning, I think. And when all is lost, you can always look to that source for any help you need to get through.
That's true. So, yeah. Ron is my intellectual guy. I always like to have better people around me. So you're my
different guys.
You're my books. I just love rubbing shoulders with better people. That's one of the keys to a good life.
I think it is.
Find those people who are better than you.
I remember your episode. I remember being there because again, I'm off to the side taking notes and things. That was like one of the first. I think it was one of the first that I sat in on, and there was like magic in the air. Great respect for you and the work you do.
For those of you listening, Ron has this nice sweater. He's got the collar shirt. Yes. He looks very official, very dapper. Ron, if you hadn't heard the episode, Ron was in a tragic accident. Mm-hmm. What would you call that event in your life? You're 19, right?
I was 19. I was in a hiking accident. I fell off a cliff and fell about 30 to 35 feet. And I would say that was a paradigm shift. Hmm. That was a shift in eternity. Because of that event, that will have a trickle-down effect that will affect me for the rest of my existence. And so that was a serious monumental shift in just my existence, not just my life. But it was pivotal. It set the course for everything.
Because it changed your life, because your physical body will never be the same.
Yeah, never will be the same. As a result of that, I ended up in a very dark hole, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, because then in that dark hole, I had to cling on to something, and it ended up being God and meaning. And I don't know if I would have the same relationship with God if that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so it really set the course. I come from a line of pilots. My grandfather was a pilot. My dad's a pilot.
Wow.
A bunch of my uncles are pilots. Now even my wife's side of the family, there's a bunch of pilots on that side.
Wow.
So I was actually heading towards that direction. But obviously I can't be a pilot commercially. And so I was like, what am I going to do? But I've always loved ideas and books, and this really set me on that course to truly understand the depths of suffering and sorrow, then how to get out of it and try to help others out of it, to make meaning out of my pain.
Amazing. And now you're a therapist, you're soon to be an author, yes, and you are changing lives.
Yes.
So stoked you're here.
Yeah.
I love this. This is the team. I like this team.
Right? Yes, good team.
This is good. Okay. We're deviating from the normal course that the podcast has been, where I do one-on-one interviews. Those aren't going to go away, but I want this to be more of a thing, mm-hmm, because I want to talk more. I want to express ideas. I want to hear ideas live from you guys. Mm-hmm. And I just get so strengthened from that. And so I like listening to podcasts like that, where there's a reoccurring cast of characters, where it's consistent and you just grow. You like, trust is built and you grow, and it's fun. Okay. So I want to read a review. I'm going to start with this. And I didn't even know what this show or what this podcast was doing or doing. I had an idea, and this just goes to show that we don't know anything. Okay. And this review from Michelle, time will tell. That's her name on here. She says, "You know what I love about this podcast? It's deepened my appreciation for my husband and the burden he carries as the provider and protector of our young family. It's no easy thing being a faithful man in the modern world. Thanks for sharing these stories to remind me that." I want to read that middle part one more time. "It's deepened my appreciation for my husband and the burden he carries as the provider and protector of our young family. It's no easy thing being a faithful man in the modern world." So let me tell you why I love that so much. I thought this podcast would just be men listening. Like, dudes are just going to come and they're going to love, they're going to be strengthened. Quite to my surprise, there's so many women that listen to this. I don't know if there's more women that listen, but there's a lot of women that listen. And if this podcast, through God's grace, can help women appreciate their husband more, and even if the husband's not listening, mm-hmm, if his life can be unburdened and he can be appreciated more to be better, that is so beautiful to me.
Totally.
That makes it all worth it.
And I 100% agree. It's funny because, like, I've listened to every, before I've joined the show, I listened to every episode. And then I listen to them at home to keep up my notes so that I can write the episode descriptions and things. So I'll listen to them out loud, and my wife, like, I'll pause them and just start typing up some stuff. And I'll pause it for maybe 5-10 minutes. And then I'll hear my wife from the other room go, "Are you going to turn that back on?"
Because she was listening.
Because she enjoys what's happening, the perspective. And there are certain aspects of it, obviously, that are universal. Mm-hmm. We talk about great doctrinal principles, but then there's real insights into men, into husbands and fathers that I think it goes right along with that review, that it's a Christ-like thing to want to understand other people.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh, that is so true.
I think, like, that, I was just looking up the quote to get it exactly right, but you had posted on the Instagram a little bit ago, a quote from Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash is my favorite recording artist of all time.
Okay.
But I remember.
Who's that? I don't know who that is.
John.
Get out. Brother Cash said, Brother Cash said that being a Christian isn't for sissies. It takes a real man to live for God a lot more than to live for the devil.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's so easy to fall into those tendencies and the temptations. Like, it doesn't take much effort to do poorly in this life. That's why when you do well,
that's a good point.
Right? That's why when you do, then there's something to it, because it's demanded something of you. It demands nothing of you to just fall to the baseline level of our animalistic urges. Mm-hmm. That is, there's zero requirement in that.
There's a good defense of Christianity on that topic. The idea is, if Christianity is man-made, which a lot of people
sure
could say, then all of the principles and all of the ideals go against man's natural desires.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? If it was man-made, it doesn't serve anything that
totally,
like, our base.
That's the argument too against the idea, kind of Freud's idea that he was building on it, but this idea that religion is there to help us feel better about life. It's an opiate for the masses, as they say, and it's to help us deal with the fears of life. It's really, this is hard. This isn't easy. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have chosen a lot better feeling opiate than this if that's what it was all about.
We could just take opiates.
Yeah, exactly. We could just take opiates, but it's not. This demands something major of you. And so I love that review and that perspective of that woman, because I really appreciate her for seeing that. Because it is hard. It's not easy.
It's not a trendy thing to see men in a good way right now.
Yeah.
It's so easy to bash them. And there is reasons. There's not, like, there is valid arguments. Not, I would never stereotype a whole gender or race, but I'm sure there are like at our base, men can be really crappy. If you're not trying to improve yourself and you're just living on those base levels, like, I get it. Like, there's been tragedies and men are physically stronger and they've had more power. And so just like you, I'm so grateful that she can see past that, understand that there are men trying who wake up in the morning, who have a burden of like
doing the work.
They're doing the work. Like, they take responsibility seriously and they do it imperfectly every day, but they still want to do it well.
My wife probably listens to the podcast more consistently than I do.
She comments all the time. And I love your wife.
Well, and she says the takeaway that she says most of the time is, it's just nice to hear about men who are just trying, trying to do good. And she goes, it's really encouraging to know that there are men out there who are just really trying their hardest. So I love that. I love it every time she says that.
Amen. You
know? Totally.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. The overarching theme of this episode, I wanted to establish this new format, is the question, what is a man of God? Mason, do you want to go first?
I like wordplay. I like thinking. I like looking at things one word at a time. And I think... What is a man of God? I started with this idea that it's a man of God. And I know it sounds very like, oh, we're teaching this to idiots. No, being a man of God means you understand your heritage. That was the first thing I thought of was, oh, a man of God, as in from. And I think that a man knows who he is. Like that, a man of God knows who he is. That's where I felt this deep connection where you're not nobody. You are a man of God. You're a prince. You're whatever it is. You are a prince to the King of Kings, the highest of all. Do you understand what that means? Do you walk around with that understanding? And I think a man of God understands. Mm. That's only one facet of this. So that's where I wanted to start and get thoughts on it. It's an understanding of just first and foremost, your divine heritage as a son of the living God.
Yes, that is the foundation. I would say that has to be the foundation.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about identity recently because our culture is obsessed with identity.
Yeah.
What gender are you? What sex are you? What political party? What music do you like? Whatever. We are so tribal.
Well, even are you a billionaire, millionaire? How much do you make? Yeah, all that stuff.
Yes.
Like, that's tied to your worth
you
and identity.
Are you inactive?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I've been pondering this, and I love silence in the mornings because clarity comes. And I had this thought, and I actually posted this the other day. I was playing the Wurlitzer in my studio and put a quote to it. But it essentially is, I had the thought that anytime I act or come from anything but other than my true identity as the son of the Most High, anytime I come politically into something or separate myself to some other identity, confusion, pride, separation, judgment, all these things that tear us apart as children of God, and it just undermines my whole effort in life. And so I love that. So thank you for the foundation, the man of God. If we're not acting from that, problems are going to come. So thank you. Ron, what was your first thought on that?
I would say then it goes off of what you're saying, Mason, is that if you are connected to complete knowledge, power, love, and presence, then I would say that the next step is that, so now what do you do about it?
We've recognized that there's action.
Because then to me, then the next logical step would be that there's something that's asked of you. How could you not be pulled into something then, to some kind of way of being or action? If that is true, if we are sons of a divine figure, then what does that mean for us here on earth? And so to me, being a man of God is to conduct yourself in a way that God is shown through you, his power, his love, and his knowledge, and his presence. You are a conduit. That's what I believe of being a man of God, is that you channel, just like we would, like when we have kids and stuff, you start to see similarities in our children. And then sometimes if your wife is like, she got that from you, or like, you know, it's like
only the best stuff.
Yeah, right? Only the best stuff. Yeah, it's when the kids are in trouble, you're like, tell your son. So we have these similarities. We take upon ourselves that the characteristics or the attributes of who we are, who we come from. And so if that's the case, then we have pieces of God in us. And this is what Augustine, what he talks about in his Confessions of St. Augustine. He talks about how if we are created, then we have a part of God in us. If we have a part of God in us, then he is with us always. And now, in my mind, then we have a responsibility to take that further and to try to help others see that. And the way to do that is how we conduct ourselves. And so through everything, and it's the same thing like in the New Testament, it's Christ has these people that he appears to, and they have their trials, they have their shortcomings. And what's interesting is the predominant culture was like, whose fault is it that that this kid has this problem?
Yeah.
It's like, it's no one's fault. It's just that this is now an opportunity for God to be made manifest through him. And I think a man of God is a person who is an open vessel and open and accepting to God being made manifest through him to others.
Mm. That is beautiful. I love that. Once you're so filled with love and joy and it's overflowing, you can't keep it. You want to call people. You can't hold it in. And so I love that. That is incredibly powerful. And it's so good to be aware of when you're feeling that, to notice how God works. He immediately just wants it to spread, to bless, to uplift everyone. So this is my question. We can know that I am the Son of the Most High, which is powerful. You can believe it. How do you feel it to where you want to take action? Because there are days that, I believe it still, but I just don't care. I know that's universal. I know it's not just me. I don't care.
And it's keeping that identity present at all times. How, I guess the question is, if one facet of being a man of God means you probably have a family, you probably have a wife. Do you constantly have to think about, oh, I'm a husband, I forgot. I need to make sure that I'm doing this thing. Or, oh, I forgot I'm a father, I got to make sure I'm doing A, B, or C. Is it the actual forgetting of, do we consciously forget, or do we actually just, oh yeah, I forgot. I don't really understand. Do we not understand what it means? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That like, I've spent a lot of time with like young men and in my ward, in my church, and it's summed up. They know what they are. I'm a basketball player, so therefore they make that a priority. Mm-hmm. And I think the forgetting something like heritage. Do you guys think every day, oh, I'm the son of Squire Senior, Robertson Senior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that every day?
No.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult to remember something as big as heritage like that. And then when we choose to follow Christ, where we take upon us his name. Mm-hmm. So therefore we're representing family.
So you're saying some rituals
can help. I think we need to take more seriously those things. We going to take the sacrament. I think spending time in service that connects you completely to the other side of the veil.
Yeah.
Because that's what God does every single living moment of his eternal life. Is care for his family.
That's true.
He does not forget who he is.
That's true.
And so I think for us, are we doing the things that connect us to him in that way? Are we serving? Are we striving to bring heaven to us versus just heaven having to reach out to say, hey, do you remember what you're supposed to be doing?
Right, asking you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened.
Yes. Yeah.
So by the time this podcast comes out, Kyle Carnahan's episode will have.
Oh, yeah.
And Kyle, I love this so much. He talks about for God to trust you, you've got to have a high pain threshold. Uh-huh. You've got to be, and he says that a high pain threshold, meaning like if something hard happens, you're not going to give up and wallow and just.
You can handle discomfort.
You can handle discomfort. You can handle the trials. You can handle other God's children, the hard things they're going through.
Yeah.
And he says the high pain threshold is achieved through habitual learning, or habitual living. Mm-hmm. Like
100%
consistently doing. So this is the thing. When I don't care about making the right choice in some moment, it's usually on the days that I've been apathetic with my communication with God. It's usually on the days that I've missed a workout. It's usually on the days that I haven't read the scriptures. It's usually on the days where I haven't done the ritualistic, habitual things that keep my pain threshold high. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as discomfort comes into some days, I'm like, yeah, discomfort's here and this is growth and I'm stoked. And I know that's annoying for people to hear. It's yeah, the pain. Yeah, let's do the pain. I'll do it. But when that other when I'm in a weak state and the discomfort comes, it's, I want an easy escape and I want to get out of this and it's numbing.
I would add to that as well. Going back to the acknowledging your heritage, knowing who you are, where you came from. I really do. There's a natural humility that comes in acknowledging sonship, that like I have a father who came before me, who has done all of these things that I can live up to. And I think in those times, it's when we think we're the beginning of the line.
Okay.
It was nobody before me. I'm the one establishing these things. Therefore, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I don't have to live up to anybody who came before me. I just have to do what I want to do right now. It's complete. Oh yeah. I'm the start. I'm the reason. So it's a natural pride.
It is.
That I think it's just, oh, I'm going to chill out in my bed because I can, because I'm, nobody else is asking me to do it.
That's true. I want to hear what you have to say, yeah. Ron, but I have something to say that's so interesting. I was on a men's group call and this guy had been to Bali and he's gone through some hard stuff. His dad just died and he's just struggling. Yeah. I was in Bali and the locals there are so happy. They're all very ancestor focused and he didn't know the connection of like why they're so happy. But one of the things that's interesting. So our ancestors, our family line, our heritage, which goes back to the King of Kings, but even taking pride and being connected to your ancestors who have done very hard things. In my life with my kids, my dad's been awesome with like genealogy and bringing old stories to life. So we read stories and they learn these really powerful stories about our ancestors. And there has been times in our life where like my daughter Ginger or Rad, they're going through something hard. And they don't want to do something. I'm like, dude, we are Robertsons. We can do really hard things. Remember this, remember that. And it has changed them. Like you can see them, like a light goes on. Like, yeah, I am a Robertson.
Yeah.
I can do hard things. My grandpa, the people who have gone before me have done some really hard things. I can do this. And so that is such a cool point.
I genuinely hope you give that pep talk in a Scottish accent. We are Robertsons.
Oh my gosh.
You got to.
My wife rightfully mocks me because I'm so bad at accents. I'm like,
Ginger, Rad.
Yeah, I'm not even going to
try. You're a Robertson.
I don't want it ever on the internet, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to try.
I'm sorry if I've offended our Scottish fans out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Someday I'll do that and I'll send it to you, but I'm not going to have the podcast. Thank you. Ron, what do you think about that? Of going back to how do you get in a place where I can identify as your, as our son of a king and then act upon it even when you don't feel like it. How do you get to that spot?
Well, there's something you said, Eric, a few minutes ago where you love the quiet in the mornings. We live in a world that's so busy. And if we're not careful that, and it's what you're saying, Mason, joking about earlier, is that time will be taken from you. There are so many competing interests for our attention. And it may not even be bad things. Maybe you have six different podcasts in a queue. But every once in a while, you have to stop because then those voices become so loud that you lose your own voice and you stop hearing the voice of God. And so very frequently with my clients, not even in a religious sense, but I'll just tell them, you have got to carve out. You can do this. Anyone can do something for 5 minutes. Just for the first 5 minutes of the day, don't turn on a phone. Don't do anything. Just sit with yourself. Because and very often, so many troubles of the world, the Blaise Pascal, the philosopher, he said that all the troubles of humankind go back to the fact that we are unable to sit with ourselves. And so what's interesting is that if you can carve out some time to sit with yourself, then maybe if you can structure that time, even just asking a question, who am I, from whom or who do I come from, then you might be able to tap into the divine. Because if not, and I know I'm throwing out a lot of quotes, but my mind is going like crazy. But
that's why you're
this
here.
This is exactly we were talking about. This, I was like, we got to get Ron here.
Carl Jung said that the world will ask you who you are. And if you do not know, the world will tell you who you are. And so this goes back to the divine heritage. Who am I? If I don't have an answer for that, the world's going to tell me who I am. You're confused. you're an influencer. Maybe you're this. Yeah.
That's like a badge of pride. Now.
It is. Yeah. Confused. Yeah. Yeah. You're the emo kid. You're this. You're that. It's the world's gonna tell you who you are.
Did you read my journal?
You're the bald guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But if we don't have an answer for that, then the world's gonna tell us who we are. And so it's like this idea of if your mind. This is from James Allen. He wrote right as a man thinketh.
Love this.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So he wrote the idea.
I just want to hug you guys right now.
The metaphor. Yeah, the metaphor of the garden. Your mind is a garden. And I think about it. It's springtime. We're going to start planting soon. And if our mind is a garden, if you do not actively, deliberately plant seeds and then tend to that garden, guess what grows in the... It's not nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not nothing will
there's
grow in the garden.
Dirt and flowers.
It's going to be weeds.
It's the law of the universe. There's nothing stagnant.
Yeah, the world will blow seeds in to your patch of ground and weeds will grow. So every morning, you better start planting those seeds and then watering them, or else the world is going to throw some seeds in there of its own kind, and you're not going to like what the world. It's not like the world. If I leave a patch of ground, strawberries are going to magically grow, and it's going to be cucumbers, and it's going to be beautiful. It's weeds.
Yeah.
And so it's. I think every morning, geez, I'm looking out this beautiful window. Like, what a great setting to sit on a bench, look at a mountain. Or look at a tree or look at a beautiful building. If you're in an urban area, go find a beautiful old building. Mm-hmm. Some of the most beautiful things are old architecture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go look at some architecture and listen to some Hans Zimmer. I don't care.
Yeah.
Plant a seed in your mind of goodness and in beauty and just see where that leads you.
Do you find whenever you share this with patients of yours, I don't know if you call them patients.
Patients or
clients. I prefer clients. Yeah. That sounds better. I think.
Yeah.
Do you find when you recommend this, what's the general reaction? Do you get fear? I know when I talk to people about, you got to cut off all this stuff. People are often, the first thing they do is, oh, I don't want to know what I'm thinking.
That usually is.
Can I let C.S. Lewis answer this?
Oh, please.
C.S. Lewis says, and the title is How to Avoid God. He says, avoid silence. Avoid solitude. Avoid any train of thought that leads off the beaten track. Concentrate on money, sex, status, health, and above all, on your own grievances. Keep the radio on. Live in a crowd. Use plenty of sedation.
And if he were alive today, he would have added social media.
Social media.
All sorts of, because radio is big.
That's so pertinent to now.
Yeah.
That's a timeless quote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have so many opportunities to distract ourselves. And I think that's why people avoid that, because in those still moments and that voice is there, it's not so clear. Is that my voice or is that God's voice? But it's usually the truth is going to be manifested in those moments to you. What your life is like, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people want to avoid that.
It's true. Do you know something that was a cool concept? Kyle Carnahan talked about this too, is like brokenness is the gateway.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. Whether we're breaking ourselves or God's breaking us, usually we break ourselves. That is it's like you get to that point where, so sometimes you don't care, but sometimes the pain's so bad, the numbing do it anymore. And the pain is so bad that you care. And so the brokenness is awful to be in. And I have some close friends going through some really tough stuff. And it just seems like they're just being broken again and again. And I hear a new thing that happens. I'm like, oh my gosh, how much worse can this get?
Yeah.
And your heart breaks for them. But the brokenness is a passage to open up to Christ. And man, when I was at my lowest, all you want is a fix from the pain, right? You just want to escape from it. But God, as a loving father, is just watching you and holding you and saying, I know this hurts so bad. He has you the whole time. This is the truth that I know now. Mm. He has you the whole time, and he's just waiting for you to give your heart to him, which is very difficult but very simple to do. And that is the catalyst for coming back to him and starting good habits and approaching him every day. Because the truth is, and he said it, so I know it's the truth. If we're seeking his kingdom first, if that's the first thing in the morning that we're doing, it doesn't matter how far we've fallen. It's we're now setting our face to him and setting ourselves up to immediately feel better, to immediately make some progress. And you're going to fall. And that's why Christ came. I love when I go to some men's retreats and we're like, we'll never do anything bad again. We're like, I felt the spirit. This is, you know, That's why Jesus came. You're going to fall again.
Yeah, we're gonna, of course.
That's the whole point of Jesus. So don't feel bad that you, but it's that just the habitual living of having trust that God is holding you. And it's such a beautiful thing to give up and surrender your will to him, to just let, to see all the magic and the things that you would never think of.
Yeah. Well, I think, because you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first thing I always think of, I don't know why in relation to that one, and maybe it's just my lack of real scripture reference comprehension. Like I'll remember lots of things. I never remember where they are.
Yeah.
But I always think of deny yourselves on ungodliness. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think of is, I think most people go, deny yourself sin, make yourself pure and all that stuff. No, it's honestly like a great piece of advice where it's just, it's deny yourself all unhappiness. Mm-hmm. Deny yourself all things, sadness.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it may be.
You're saying like all things that aren't of God.
Things that God does not endorse.
Yeah.
And it's not just, hey, stop sinning. It's, hey, be happy. Hey, dude, be with him. Mm-hmm. Ungodliness is, I think, doesn't have to be just summed up by this. Oh.
It's very Protestant.
It's very Puritan. Puritan, murder, she's a witch. But I think in the end, it's are we seeking godliness? It's that heritage again. Am I seeking Branningness? Are you seeking Robertsonness? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing where it's just, we're accepting the blessings that are 100% ours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's off on another tangent, but I think before we do move on to something, in preparation for this, mm-hmm. you asked the question. I asked a few people I know, but I asked some of these young men, including some eight-year-olds, and I was like, hey, what do you think it is to be a man of God? And they all, it's funny to hear the differences between these adults who were like, they immediately feel like they have to build an answer, craft an answer, and it's very like, I don't want to upset anybody who may think I'm only talking about one thing. We live in that kind of world where if you don't speak to everybody's experience, you're excluding them. It's no, you're supposed to adapt it to you. You can do that. You have the cognitive power to say, oh, that applies to me, versus he didn't say, I used to be that when I was a kid, because I'm an artist. I love doing that stuff. And whenever people would be like, go out there and enjoy your hobbies. And they'd always be like, play baseball, play football, go sing. And they would never say like paint. And I was always like, they're not talking to me. Yeah. And it's so stupid. That's not what it is. But the idea is like these men would all like, I feel like this, and that could also be applied to women. And I feel like this as well. And that also too could be applied to mothers. And there's a lot of the gospel principles, the ways we're supposed to be, will apply to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It can apply differently. And one of my favorite things was talking to one of these young boys who I was just like, so what does it mean to you to be a man of God, and why be a man of God? And he looks at me and he goes, I want to be a man one day. And I'm like, okay. So he's already, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And he said, and so being a man is something that I should be. I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, and the reason I'm supposed to be is that's the only way I'll be happy and live with God again. And I just sat back and went, that's absolutely 100% the thing. Versus all of these men who are, to be a man of God means provide, protect, preside. And it's like, those things are true, but they want to get into that. You got to get a job and you got to do the. And these young boys were going, being a man is being good. Being a man is being what God created you to be. Nothing else. To be the best version of your gender, to be the best version of a father, of who you are, of your line and the lineage of God. And to do so because you love him, because you want to be with him. So I had to get that out because we can always learn so much from the younger generations before the world's gotten their hands on them and go like, no, you're confused. It's like this and you can be this. They get it. They really do. And we gum up the works by being so
fearful of offense.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was so cool. You said, He said, I want to do it because it's what I'm supposed to be, and I know I'll be happy.
That's what I'm supposed to be.
How cool is that? How simple is that? Mm-hmm. Like, we were placed on earth as men to be men of God because we're supposed to be, it will make us and others happy.
And there's purpose in that.
There's purpose. There's a lot of purpose.
That's the idea. A man of God is purposeful.
This goes right along with this quote I heard the other day on a podcast, this definition of masculinity, which I might add, masculinity in the culture is such a confusing topic.
Yeah.
It's everything and nothing. And it's, so I'm prefacing why I love that, like something so concrete as this. And I want to know your thoughts on this. Masculinity is building and maintaining structures of safety so women and children can thrive.
I know that's not comprehensive,
but that gives me some...
I have an immediate thought on this.
Okay, tell me.
Because I was going to actually pose this question. We're watching, and I love these movies, I love these books. We're watching The Lord of the Rings right now.
Oh, my favorite.
Have you guys heard of those?
We get a separate podcast.
Yeah, have you guys heard of this, these stories? I'm sorry.
Wait, Lord of the what?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, like Rings.
The, you wear them.
Yeah, Darth Vader and most of those.
Oh, Darth.
No, oh,
this, so this is the, no, this is the one with Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
Harry Vader.
I'm watching it with my nephew for the his first time. He had just listened to all the books. And right now we just watched the second movie. We're at the Battle of Helm's Deep. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get every available man to fight. And
boy.
Old man and boy.
Yeah.
And he remarked on it where he just said, he was like, whoa, they're getting these young guys and the old guys? Why would they do that? And I said, because they're desperate to save their civilization, to save themselves. And he was like, well, if they're that desperate, why don't they just ask the women? Why don't they ask them too? And I thought on this, and it's that very thing you just said that I went, because that is a man's duty, to do those hard things so that others can do the hard things they must do.
Ideally in safety.
Yeah, it's not to say that, oh, my hard thing is harder than yours, or I have to do the harder thing so you can be at home. And raising the rising generation is exactly what we're about. Mm-hmm. If the entire civilization is wiped out, then it's over.
Yeah.
But if you can save women and children, if you can ensure that they have mothers, if you were there at the battle and you died, but your family survived,
right,
you have placed a positive example for your sons and your daughter's future by saying, oh, he fought for us, he saved our lives, and leaving them with a mother who will care for them and love them in your absence.
So you agree with this?
I do. And again, there's plenty of ways you can always discuss things to pieces, but it's one of those
where I like it because
my knee-jerk reaction
I like it because it's concrete and full of purpose.
Yeah.
Not that it's comprehensive. I'm going to read it again. Masculinity is building and maintaining structures of safety so women and children can thrive. That wasn't the exact quote. I changed it to what I liked a little more, but it was that idea. Yeah, because I heard it, so I had to write it down after. Ron, you're thinking over there. I can see the wheels turning.
Oh, they're grinding.
Hopefully not to
I think of rites of passage from being a child to an adult, and I believe that women already have that in them.
What do you mean by this?
What I mean that is a really obvious one is giving birth to a child, becoming a mother.
Oh, goodness, man.
And so you talk about selflessness. They give up their bodies. They give up their energy. They give up their minds to, and what I mean by minds is it's not that they go crazy. Is that
they're occupied.
Yeah, they're very occupied. Exactly. So if.
What a freaking sacrifice.
If that selflessness leads to growth. Men need selflessness. And I don't know if there's anything more selfless than to make the purpose of your life to set up a structure so that others may thrive. That is constantly thinking about others. Mm-hmm. That's thinking about your wife, your children, and a society. And the more empirical research that comes out about this, and it's not like that's anything new, but it just is more validated over and over again of the important role that men have to play in a society. And of course that men nowadays are going to be confused if they've been told that they're not needed or that a woman can do a job just like a man can do. That's not the point. It's that men need a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not who can do it better. It's men need a job. Mm-hmm. And what a great job to have is to set up structures so that of safety and security, because it is an inherently selfless act so that others may thrive. Just like a woman sacrifices her body so that someone else may live. A man can do that as well. And we need that.
Gosh, I love this.
Yeah,
it feels good.
Utilizing our God-given gifts that are differences from the other gender.
Yes.
Like we can't bear children. But there's people who get in those arguments nowadays where they're like, men are always stronger than women. But is that the point, to compare our strengths? No. We're given them to do exactly this, to use them somewhere, to not abuse other people who are not on our level. And I think that's a man, that is a true man of God, is you're given power and you do not abuse it. You are given power and you give glory to God. You are humble in everything that you do, while fighting for those and protecting those who, sure, maybe they could defend themselves one day if they had to. But wouldn't you rather make it to where they didn't? Wouldn't you rather be on the front line saying, nope, we stopped that before it even began?
And if it's an inevitable, maybe they can't help that, but you sure as heck want to make sure that they're prepared. You want to prepare them. And a great first step is to prepare them with the knowledge of where to look in a time of need and of trouble. And that might be to you first, but then if you can say, yeah, look to me, but guess where I look, son or daughter? Yeah. I look to God.
Yeah.
So you start to bridge that gap. You may be the bridge between them and God. Hmm. And it's not to say that they can't find God without a father.
Right.
I'm sure plenty of people have. I know they have.
Statistically, it's more, have you heard of this?
We talked about this, but it's like you can be a conduit between you and the divine for your children. And so I can't think of a better mission than that, than to help them know to whom to look for strength and guidance and for grace. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Excellent.
Ryan Treft, who I interviewed, he's one of my, I love that guy so much. He's so wise. He says, truth is what works. And I was like, okay, so now that we've discussed this concept of me having purpose to go build structures of so my wife and children and society as a greater whole can thrive, it hits me so much in the core that I know that it makes me want to go be better. And so that's what truth is to me. When I hear an idea and it makes me want to be better and to live my purpose more fully, I'm so appreciative of that. Like that God.
Yeah. Then there's something to that idea.
Yeah.
So that's what, so I love the concept already. Your point was genius, but then also the women, they've already had the rite of passage that just brings it all the way back that we essentially all go through a rite of passage, but men need a job. They need that purpose. And they not only need it, but they were designed. Like we are
designed. Oh, we're designed for it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In ancient cultures, you'd have the Lakota would send the men on a vision quest, right? The different, I can't remember if it was the Maasai tribe, but they, even now in more of these rural and more tribal communities, even in Africa, I was watching this documentary where these men, they go out and fight, they hunt a lion. They're still doing this stuff in other areas of the world. And there comes a cost when we've gotten so comfortable and we lose that rite of passage. And so I think in any way, shape, or form, whether it's you join the Peace Corps, you go serve a religious mission, or you go volunteer somewhere, like we need that rite of passage. And I can't think of a better rite of passage or to gain a sense of purpose. Because usually these rites of passage, the objective is to gain a sense of identity. And a sense of purpose, and it's now welcoming you into the fold. And you think of lineage, then how many men before us, yes, they abused their power, I get that. But more often than not, how many men made it their mission to establish a structure of safety and security for those around them? That's why I read World War II so much. Yeah. It's these guys are unreal. Mm. Think about guys who established a structure of safety and security for the rest of the world. So it's important. I think we've gotten really comfortable. And it's going back to what you were saying, Eric, about seeking out difficult things to do, seeking out the uncomfortable. And it actually makes us feel better. It's a strange paradox.
It's weird how that works.
Yeah. And I guess it depends on what you mean by feel and better. But ultimately, I think it helps us to feel like we are more in tune with who we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Bringing it all the way back.
Yeah.
Guys. Did we do it?
We solved it.
That was...
It's done.
I had so much fun.
This is wonderful.
This is a good format. So this is the thing, my dear listener out there. Did you like this format? Did it enlighten? Do you like it better than... I don't want to do... Do you like it better than the other one? Do you like this? Do you want more of this? We're never going to know unless you review the podcast. Mm. So if you got something from this, if you felt that we offered you something, please give something back. Leave a review, share it, send it to someone else. this message goes as far as people will share. Mm-hmm. So if you believe in it, please share it. Also, some exciting news. Okay, we started a nonprofit called Salt the Earth, and I'm so excited about this. It's going to be like a podcasting network. We're writing books. We're making content. We're going to do shows for women, for teenagers. We feel this calling that we want people to know their identity, their true identity, and then how to act from it, and how to like just like cleave into this goodness. We feel that the world needs this. And we are doing this for free currently. We are going to be adding all this new stuff from your donations, from your help. And in fact, we started a merch store, and I can't wait to get my first shirt that I just ordered.
Oh, wow.
But we have water bottles, we've got socks, we've got hoodies, we've got shirts, hats, we got all this cool stuff. So I'm going to put that link in the description. Buy those for your husbands, sons, friends. Let's get this spread. And then please, if you would love to support us, please consider donating. It's very expensive to do this work, and it is a passion for us, and we really believe in it. So we'd love you to join us in that. And I'll put all the links for that in the show notes. So please take a minute to support us on that. I want to give you guys the final word on the topic of what is a man of God, masculinity, and what you'd want to close with. Let's start with you, Mason.
I think something I've thought a lot about recently, which is knowing where you stand. I had a weird dream recently where I was standing with a whole group of people, and there was a storm coming our direction. And it was, I don't even get the context of the dream. This is the only part I remember. And I just, somebody next to me was like, I'm terrified. And I said, I'm not scared of any storm the devil can send my way. And they said, how do you know that's not a storm from God? And in my dream, somehow profoundly, I said, because I know where I'm standing. I know where I'm at. And so, yeah, Dream Mason is really wise and really amazing. And now I get to benefit from who he is. But I think there is, it's not even just a benefit. It's the greatest blessing on earth to know where you are firmly planted. Are you in the Lord's camp? As a man, are you rallying the troops? Are you getting yourself ready? Do you know where you stand? And I think that has become the most important thing to me recently is this. I don't have to question that. I don't have to worry. When I hear people come at anybody and say, yeah, but traditionally men are this way, women are this way, whatever it is, I go, yeah, but I'm standing in the place where I know this has worked since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Since before the beginning of time. I don't think I'm smarter than the process. I'm going to stand where I'm standing. So I think more than anything, just know where you stand. And if you don't know where you stand, make significant steps to get there. That's the greatest thing. You talked about it. All of us fall. Jesus knows that. That's why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he did what he did. We're going to fall. Just as long as you fall, standing where you're supposed to be. Hopefully that was clear.
That was very clear, and I felt that, man. Thank you.
That's great.
Ron, take us home.
I think a man of God, and this is appropriate to the podcast, I believe a man of God is a man who loves God. And if you love God, then I'll finish by reading a quote from Soren Kierkegaard from Fear and Trembling. And I don't know if anyone can say it better than Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard says, so we think about this, what does it mean to be a man of God? A man of God is a man who loves God. And then this is what he says, but he who loves God has no need of tears, needs no admiration, and forgets his suffering in love. Indeed, forgets so completely that afterwards, not the least hint of his pain would remain were God himself not to remember it. For God sees in secret and knows the distress and counts the tears and forgets nothing. God does not forget. You are not forgotten. If you love him, if you turn to him, you will have no need of tears. You will have no need of admiration. You can live your life in peace with this kind of what you're saying, Mason, this assurance of where you stand. And you do come from noble stock. We all do. And there's something to that. There's something powerful about that. So a man of God is a man who loves God.
Amen. All right. Until next time. Thank you, brothers. This was incredible. It's enlightening. I've been strengthened. I hope you listeners have been strengthened, you brothers and sisters out there. Thank you for being here. And if you feel prompted, send us to the others that are struggling. We all need this. We all need to be strengthened in Christ. So thank you.
Thank you.
If you liked this episode, I would be so grateful to you if you wrote a review and shared this episode with someone who could benefit from the messages. This podcast doesn't exist without you. So if you are feeling generous and want to help out, visit donate.themenwholovegod.com to support us today. And if you're looking for more ways to include God throughout your day, check out some of my recent music I created in partnership with Skylight. These tracks are designed to bring peace, calm, and healing. I'm going to play one of my tracks right now, and you can also listen to more from the link in the show notes.